I hope you recognize that is the Apostles' Creed put to song. Amen. I'd love to sing that. Just declare we believe. All right, am I in the wrong place here? All right, you may be seated. This is a very, very special day today. Day of honor and joy. It's right on the front of the bulletin. We are going to be receiving 11 new covenant members into the church. Yes. And so, therefore, since that's the great, great focus of the service, the service is going to flow in a little different pattern today. Even the sermon. Basically, we're going to come to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read it in portions with a few comments. It naturally divides into three different parts, so we're going to follow those three different parts and stop after each one and chew on it a little bit in worship and singing. So if you want to get your Bibles open, we're going to be reading in just a moment the first two verses. Romans 12 is one of the best chapters I know, perhaps the best chapter I know on church membership. Because Romans chapter 12 lays out the characteristics that should mark true members of a church. That is, if it is a church where members have personally experienced that salvation that is in Jesus Christ that changes your heart and your life. And any true church should be that kind of church. And so, this chapter is a word to anyone claiming the name of Christ. It's a chapter for anyone affiliated with this church, friends of this church, connected with anyone in this church. It's a word to any member of this church, those being received today, as well as those who have already been members of the church. The characteristic that should mark true members of a church, and Paul ties that to three specific areas. Three specific relationships. Our relationship to God, first of all, in the first two verses. Then our relationship with one another within the body, verses 3 through 8. And finally, our relationship with all people everywhere, within the body, but beyond the walls, anyone with whom we have contact, verses 9 through 21. And that's the way we're going to look at it. So look with me first at verses 1 and 2 where Paul is saying to every member of the church of Jesus Christ, in your relationship with God, take yourself, everything you are, the totality of who you are as a person, and lay it on the altar completely for God. Now let's read it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Now let me stop there just a moment. That's the foundation phrase for the entire chapter. Paul is saying, have you experienced God's mercy in salvation? If you have, then everything that follows ought to be true of you. So in view of God's mercy, first of all, in your relationship with God, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Paul says, here is the starting point. Take your body. And you understand along with me that our bodies are the vessels in which we live out all our lives. I don't live out any part of my life outside of this body. Nor do you. Everything we are, everything we do, is somehow within the confines of this body, including mind and spirit and soul. So Paul says, take your body, this instrument in which you express yourself, and lay it all on the altar. Yeah. Lay it all on the altar, totally alive, yes, and yet totally consumed for God, like a burnt offering in the Old Testament, in love for the one who has saved you by his mercy. That's the starting point. And Paul says that is the very first thing that should demonstrate that you have really experienced the mercy of God in salvation. You are totally His. You are lovingly His. You are gladly His, completely. You are consumed for God. I love that classic statement of Oswald Chambers. Christians ought to be people who invite God to help Himself to their lives. And so I would ask those who are becoming members today and those who have been members already, are you all on the altar? Are you all on the altar? Now let's stop and chew on that for just a little bit and sing and worship, and we'll come back with the next verse in just a moment. Amen. Now Paul takes up the second relationship we have as Christians. Relationship with God, put it all on the altar. Now he picks up our relationship with one another within the body. And he says, in your relationship with each other within the church, live together like a body. Let's begin to read verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, Paul has just said a mouthful in those verses. A mouthful. But the picture we're to have in mind is the picture of our bodies. And the way these bodies are to function when they're working properly. So let me summarize what Paul is saying in five sentences with that analogy of the body now applied to the church. Number one. If we are in Christ, and that is the mark of being a true believer, if we are in Christ, then we, every one of us who belong to Him, have been brought into a body. His body. And for us, that body is this local fellowship of believers, Faith Wesleyan Church. We belong to the body. Number two, as members of this body, we belong to each other. And therefore, we cannot be separated from each other without hurting the body. Now, allow me a moment to personalize this. I want you to do two things. Number one is, I want you to look around, and every face you can see around you, I want you to say to yourself, you don't have to say it out loud, I want you to say to yourself, I belong to you, and you belong to me. That is exactly what it says. So right now, I want you to see every face you can see around you and say that to yourself. I belong to you. And you belong to me. Because that's what it's saying. Now, the second thing I want you to do, and I'm going to have you look around again, all those faces you can see, now this is maybe the harder one. If anything ever happens to separate us, it is going to hurt the whole body. So I want you to look around again, see every face you can see, and say that to yourself. If anything happens to separate us in any way, it's going to hurt the whole body. That's number two. Number three, Paul says every member of this body is different. And some of us are more different than others. And I'm about as different as you can get, so I'll just start there. Every member of this body is different. Now, we are not different and should not be different in what constitutes our faith. In that, we should be one and together. We are not different and should not be different in what we have experienced in salvation in Jesus Christ. That should be the same, one with another. But we are very different in our gifts. We are very different in our functions, and we are very different in our personalities. Therefore, Paul is saying, understand that, accept that, appreciate that, cherish that, for everything it means, life to life, person to person. Number four, whatever gifts, whatever abilities we have been given, we are to use in this body. And for this body, with diligence and without fail. And number five, since every gift comes from God, not from ourselves, and is to be used according to His plan for this body, there should be no comparing. It'd be a good time for an amen. No competing, another good time for an amen. No complaining. Amen. No criticizing. Amen. Ooh, that one got a little weak. No carping. Amen. And no copping out. Amen. Paul says, this is the second thing that should demonstrate we have really experienced the mercy of God in salvation. We should live together with each other like a body. Loving each other, belonging to each other, ministering to each other according to the grace that has been given to us by God. Now let's stop and chew on that again. And a little bit of singing and worship, and we'll be back. Well, are you ready for the third relationship Paul takes up? Because we not only have a relationship with God, and we not only have a relationship with one another within this body, but we all have relationships that extend throughout this body and then go on beyond these walls to people outside. And so in the rest of the chapter, Paul addresses that and says, in your relationships with everyone. And now he means, yes, inside the church, but also beyond the walls of the church, in your relationships with everyone, love without any hypocrisy. Now, this is a very interesting passage. I wish you were all Greek scholars. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know enough to kind of pick out a few things here and there that really speak loudly. There are several verses here. This is 9 through 21, and yet it only has one complete sentence, and it's the first one. And that is the exhortation, love must be sincere. That's the only complete statement in all these verses that end the chapter. I want you to feel this. It's not that Paul is giving 14, 15 different exhortations. He's giving one exhortation. It is the main point, and all the others fill out what it means. Now that's interesting. So the one sentence to capture here before we even read it is the first one. Love must be sincere. Or more literally, let love be without hypocrisy. In all your relationships with everyone, let your love be without any play acting, where you just play a part and appear to be something, but it's not really true. Now that's the one exhortation here. And then Paul says, now, here's how it's true. If that's really true, then all of these things must be seen in your life. Here we go. Are you ready? This is what it means to have love without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what it means to love without any hypocrisy. So Paul says, this is the third thing. Members, Christians, this is the third thing that should demonstrate we have really experienced the mercy of God in salvation. We love all people without hypocrisy, both inside and outside the church. Now, you may have noticed in the bulletin I called this the New Testament's membership manual. These are the kind of church members the Lord is looking for in the church. In your relationship to God, lay yourself and everything about you totally on the altar for Him. In your relationships with each other within the church, live together like a body. And in your relationships with everyone, both inside and outside the church, love without any hypocrisy. Now let's chew on that for a moment, sing and worship, and then we'll be back. And so with the power of those worship songs and the truth of God's word, we now enter into this very special time, the membership reception ceremony. Dear friends, the privileges and blessings we have within the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ are very sacred and precious. The Bible says that Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for her, sanctifying himself that the church might be sanctified. He chose to speak of himself as the head of the church and of the church as his body. Again, he spoke of himself as the husband and of the church as his bride. In life and in death, Christ gave of himself unselfishly for the church. And he asked the church to do the same, sending her into the world to preach the scriptures, to save the lost, to administer the sacraments, to maintain Christian fellowship and discipline, and to build up believers until he comes again. All of us, whatever our age or position stand in need of Jesus Christ and his salvation and of those means of grace which he has chosen to channel through his church. And so, it is in keeping with this commission of Christ to the church that we meet together now. There are some among us who testify to having been received already into the spiritual fellowship of the universal church, and who desire now to be received into the official and visible fellowship of this local gathering of the body of Christ, Faith Wesleyan Church. I'm going to now introduce 11 new covenant members of Faith Wesleyan Church. I'll introduce them in alphabetical order. You will see them coming. I think their pictures will also be on screen. I'm going to call them forward to the front, starting over here, and then we'll move across in alphabetical order. I'll ask them, first of all, to turn and face you. Jacqueline Dankowski, Jody and Scott Fish, take your time, Jackie. That's all right. We've got all day. Well, most of it. Christy and Darren German. Now, let me tell all of you here, if Jacqueline needs to be seated at any point, please make sure she has a place to go. Millie and Monty Hughes. Angie Shivers. Bill Wilkinson, Shannon Wilkinson. And Matthew Wright, whom we now know as Pastor Matthew. All right, students, I'm going to have to ask for a little bit of help here because we need this front pew here. So there's a little space back on the third one for some of you. And maybe a little space over here. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. I think we're okay, Jamie, for you to stay right there. All right. Thanks, you guys and gals. All right. I'll give these all a chance now to just be seated at the front pews for a few moments. These persons, these 11 persons seated here at the front, have come to enter into covenant as members in full relationship with the Wesleyan Church, with all of its accompanying rights, privileges, and responsibilities. They testify to having been born again. They have been baptized, and they have been instructed in and have accepted the doctrines and polity of the Wesleyan Church, and have been approved by vote as manifesting in spirit and practice God's work of grace in their hearts and lives. Therefore, we now propose in the fear of God to publicly address them as to their experience and faith and purpose, so that you may know they are proper persons to be admitted into this church. And so I'm now going to be asking them a series of what we call covenant questions. They're biblical questions, spiritual questions, and I'd like to say to any of you who are already members of the church, let this be a kind of renewal of your own membership vows. Would you do that? In your own heart, be answering these. Let me now address you, 11. Do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that Jesus Christ the Son suffered in your place on the cross? That he died but rose again? that he now sits at the Father's right hand until he returns to judge all people at the last day. And do you believe in the Holy Scriptures as the inspired and inerrant Word of God? Do you believe that by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose between right and wrong, and that those who repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith? And do you believe that God not only counts believers as righteous, but that he makes them righteous by his grace and power, perfecting them in love at entire sanctification and providing for their growth in grace at every stage of their spiritual life, enabling them through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life? And if that is your faith, would you answer together, "This I believe." Do you have the witness of the Spirit within that you have been born again, having repented of your sins, so that you know without doubt that you are now a child of God? And if so, would you please answer, "I do." Do you have the assurance that you have experienced the deeper grace of heart cleansing, that is sanctification, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit? And if not, do you purpose to diligently seek this grace? And if so, would you please answer, "I do." Do you cordially accept our statements of faith, that is, our doctrine and teaching, our membership commitments, and our elementary principles as biblical guidelines for your faith and conduct? And do you accept the authority of the discipline of the Wesleyan Church in matters of church government? If so, would you please answer, "I do." Do you recognize your obligation to God and the church? And do you purpose to contribute of your tithes and offerings as the Lord has prospered you for the support of the gospel as the church fulfills its mission in the world? And do you commit yourself to support this church with your earnest prayers, your faithful attendance, and with your service, time, and talents, seeking God's glory in all things? If so, would you please answer, "I do." By coming before us today, you indicate your purpose to publicly confess the Lord Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as your God and as the object of your highest love. You accept the Lord Jesus to be your Redeemer and the Holy Spirit to be your Sanctifier, Comforter, and Guide. You joyfully dedicate yourselves to God that you might be used in His service to glorify and honor Him. And you promise to hold to Him as the highest good of your life, that you will give diligent attention to the commandments and principles of His Word, that you will seek the honor and advancement of His kingdom, and that forsaking all ungodliness and worldly desires, you will live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You do also purpose to join yourselves to this church, submitting yourselves to its principles of government, and by walking in love and fellowship with all its members, seek its peace, purity, and growth in grace. Do you freely and sincerely devote yourselves to be the Lord's within the fellowship of this church? And if so, would you please answer, "I do." Now I want to turn to the church body and a response from you. I want to ask the members of the church now to assure these of your love and of your prayers and of your care over them in the days to come. Do you, the members of this church, receive these to our communion and fellowship as beloved brothers and sisters, and promise to walk with them in love, to instruct, counsel, admonish, and cherish them, and to watch over them with all long-suffering, gentleness, and love? And if that is your heart, would you all together say, we do. Amen. Now we're going to enter into prayer time this morning at this time. And let me try to set this up. I want it to have a real focus on these 11, but I don't want it to leave out anyone. And so we're going to make the invitation big. I'm going to first of all ask these 11 to just step forward to the altar and kneel, if that is possible. If you can't kneel, you may stand or remain seated. But if the 11 of you would do that at this time, if that's possible for you physically. I have asked the present members of the local board of administration to come quickly. And I think it would be best if you come on this side of the altar, so that you're in front of someone, all the current members of the local board of administration. And don't forget Jacqueline, who needs to remain seated. If one or two of you could also join with her to pray for her. Any of my fellow pastors, if you want to come also. Pastor Ray, if you would come. Pastor Ray is going to be leading us in prayer. And if any of others of you would like to come and pray for these who are here at the altar about to become members of the church, family members, oh, Angie has some family here all the way from Indianapolis. We'd love to have you just come and pray for Angie if you'd like to. And anyone else, come and pray for these, join them, pray God's blessing upon them as they live their lives in Christ and join themselves to this body of believers. And one more thing, now don't fail to hear me here. Now, I want to open this invitation to prayer for any and every need. Don't feel excluded just because you're not among these. If you have a need you want to bring before the Lord in prayer, please just come, find a place at the altar, in one of the pews nearby, come and join us. Love to have you come. All right, I'm going to ask Pastor Ray to step forward at this time. Will you please stand with us? Let's turn our hearts to the Lord in earnest prayer.
And now are safely in the kingdom of God. And we are blessed. We have seen the hand of the Lord, and we have witnessed the stories of your grace in these different ones that are here today being brought into the church. And we're grateful. We love the word of God that says, as Peter said, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God, precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And we're so grateful for the Spirit of God that changes our lives, for the Spirit of God that draws us to yourself. And Lord, we're grateful today for this opportunity to pray for this new part of our church, these new ones that are a part of our congregation. They're a part of your family. They're a part of our family, the family of God. And we love them today, Lord, and we pray for them today. Oh God, we pray that in the coming days we'll see continued growth, continued blessing in their lives. And Lord, the gifts that you have gifted them with, Lord, would be used in this local church and beyond to be a blessing to the body. And so, Lord, we ask your richest blessings to rest upon each and every one that is here today. Lord, we pray your blessings to be upon this church. Continue to lead us and direct us. Lord, we want nothing more than the will of God and nothing less than the will of God to be done. And so, God, give us the strength, give us the courage, give us the fortitude to be men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ that are following you and faithful to you and fulfilling the purpose to which you have called us, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that saves and changes lives. Help us to be a part of that and continue, Lord, we pray. And so, God, we're asking your richest blessings upon these that are here and your continued blessings upon this church and your kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now I'll ask those who are coming into the church to remain where they are and turn and face you. The others may be seated for the moment. We have some others who have become a part of our church and membership within the past year and since the last time we had this kind of a ceremony, some of them transferring in from other Wesleyan churches, and I would like for them to come forward at this time so that you may also see that they have been received into this church. There's Sherman and Anita Burton, who have been transferred from the Holman Street Wesleyan Church, who would come and join us here at the front. Eric and Karen Perry also transferred from the Holman Street Wesleyan Church, and they are now members of Faith Wesleyan Church. And then we have some folk who have come to us from the Sugar Grove Free Methodist Church, Nancy Kenworthy and Norma Shaw and Grant and Cherry Manili. And Grant had to work today, could not be here, but Cherry is here. Now, in a service like this, we're always up against time. I have to tell you what I wanted to do at this time, and I think we just can't. I wanted to open the door for at least a quick word of testimony or any expression that any of these would like to give. But we have a big fellowship time coming here to close out, and we've got to leave plenty of time for this. And you know what we do, don't you? I mean, if you haven't been here, maybe you don't. But here they are, and that means starting on one side and going back and then coming across and then across and back and across. We give opportunity for anyone who wants to form a big reception line And we just move across and we extend the right hand of fellowship and our words of love. And some people like to hug and some people like to cry and some people like to love. And, you know, you're just free. But it's more than just the public thing that I may say. It's the personal thing from your heart to their hearts. Now, I'm very aware that there may be some folk, might be visitors with us today, guests, and you wouldn't feel comfortable with that. I understand that. There may be some folk who need to leave. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have a little prayer, which will be kind of the closing prayer of the service. But please, don't everybody get up and leave after the prayer. If you have to, you may, and I'm making up provision for that. But then I'm going to come down at the end here, and I want to begin along with the other pastors who will join me here, and then we'll start right here, then back in that section, then here, then across here, back that section. Let's make the line go around this way and come across. We don't want any traffic jams right here at the front or any accidents. So we'll come around this way and come across. That means everybody doesn't have to stand at once and stand a long time. You can just follow kind of section by section and wait until it comes to your section. But when that comes, I would invite you to extend your heart to their hearts and welcome them. We will be having Sunday school classes just as soon as we finish this fellowship time. I wanted to get that out. But at the end of the fellowship time, we'll consider that the end of the service today. All right? Everybody clear? Did I say it so it made sense? I hope so. Let me have a little prayer, and then if you need to go, you may slip out, and then we'll begin this extending of the right hand of fellowship to each one of these. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessings that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. You have done far more than we could ever think or imagine. And that according to the power at work within us, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. So as has already been prayed, pour out your blessing. And Father, in these moments, may love flow from heart to heart in such a wonderful way that it binds your church together in this place and honors your name. Bless your people in this place, even those who need to go just now. May we walk in your grace and live in your fellowship because Jesus is our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, if you need to slip out, please feel free to do that.